Okay, the captain's got it. Good afternoon again here. My privilege to introduce Brother Kirk Sams, who will be the next speaker. He's the evangelist for the Kannapolis Church of Christ in Kannapolis, North Carolina, and he's been there since 1989. Brother Sams is a big supporter of Carolina Bible Camp. Most of you might know that. I think he must have been working with them for about 30 years. He also does a lot with the Horizons program at Freed Hardeman. And it's our privilege and pleasure to have Brother Sam speak to us. It will be a continuation of what the series of Brother Kraft started. That's the Shining the Truth on Social Issues. And he will be dealing with extramarital sex, sex outside of marriage, it says here, doesn't it?
Good afternoon. Yeah, you may be backing this one down a little bit too, but we'll work with it as it goes. I feel honored and privileged to be among just a great group of folks we have loved and been a part of. Someone asked me before how long I've been up with Carrie and been with Carrie years in past and youth rallies and various opportunities and worked with their youth group at Carolina Bible Camp, and I'm just privileged to be able to be a part of this great lectureship today and already the tremendous lessons that we've already heard. But I feel much like Eddie did. Eddie and I talked earlier. He said, I wish we could have kind of gone back to back and just got that done. Because when you're talking about these particular topics, I'm like the minister who was always reluctant to address the subject of sex. Among his concerns was the choice of the closing hymn. One minister preached on the subject, began to notice that the congregation was kind of snickering in the middle of the sermon. It was then that he realized that the song leader had chosen the hymn, Oh, Why Not Tonight? So it is a subject that there is some tension about and we need to address on a regular basis. But do you realize that we live in such a pluralistic society and in a time where marriage, even as I stand before you, there's just so many, we're going to be here either a while or I'm going to stop midway through. As of May the 8th, 2012, and I'm not getting into the brother's topic tomorrow, there is a proposed constitutional ballot on same-sex marriage on the Senate Bill 514, and it'll be on the docket of the amendment discussion this year in North Carolina. On that same amendment bill is a docket of determining the fact, and this bill reads thusly, constitutional amendment to provide that marriage between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in this state. Amen? That was initiated September 2011. Now, if you'd have told me back several years ago when I first entered the ministry that I'd be standing in front of a group of people and trying to explain the fact, what is marriage, and have to even define that, I would think you were nuts. Because God did that a long time ago back in Genesis when he first designed us and he delivered the first marital ceremony. Man and woman and the two shall be one flesh. And in the beginning of time, God in the garden did something that we have misused, we've abused, and we've totally misunderstood. In the beginning of time, before sin, before Satan, before the fruit of the knowledge of the good and evil, they were in the garden, both the man and his wife, and they were naked and unashamed. And I was going to echo what the brother said this morning, there's only one place that that's allowed even today, and it's in the same place. It's in marriage, not outside of marriage. Someone asked me what my topic was. I said, it'd be real quick. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. Thank you. But unfortunately, do you realize, and these, you can say what you want to with statistics, but in 2000, the U.S. Census found 51% of all households are married couples. steady decline over the last several decades. Also, 5.4 million couples, according to the 2000 census, were living together without being married. 30% of all children do not live in a two-parent home. Why is that? What has changed in our world over just a few decades where marriage has been misinterpreted, individuals have been misinformed? And I'll tell you what, one of the glowing things that has occurred is we have forgotten what God told us in the beginning. And we've gotten to the point that we've listened to the media and the bombardment of images and theories and philosophies and the evolutionary theory, because if we are not born of God, and if we are just from the ooze and we're just animals, then we're behaving like them already. But we weren't designed to behave that way. We were designed to behave the way God intended. A lot of passages we can look at, but one thought I want to kind of start with. While men's, you remember Matthew 13? Mark your Bibles at Exodus 22, but over in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus shared a parable. And in that parable, beginning in verse 25, he was talking about the parable. The kingdom of God, heaven, is like a man who sowed a good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Well, I want to, for just a moment, if you'll allow me to go off. While men slept, abortion has continued. While men slept, homosexuality has become a lifestyle instead of an aberration. While men slept, sex outside of marriage has become a normal practice. While men have slept, teenage pregnancy has reached epidemic proportions. While men have slept, our society has become addicted to gambling and pornography. While men slept, one of our major health problems in the world is addiction to both drugs and alcohol. And it's while we've been asleep. And it feels like we've woken up from a really bad dream and we're in the middle of it going, what in the world happened? How did we get this way? Notice what I said. How did we get this way? For the last month, been challenging the teen class on Wednesday night. And I've hit kind of a wall with them. And they've hit one with me because I've caught myself in a place I don't like. I'm not as easily offended as I used to be. I'm way too close to what was referred to by Jeremiah in chapter 6, verse 15. I told you to stay in Exodus, and we're going to get back there, but flip over to Jeremiah with me for a moment. And many of you probably already know this text as you've heard it referenced before, but this was an era in time. Every generation goes through it. We don't change any. We cycle through as mankind over the years through various generations, and here's what happens. Chapter 6, verse 15 says this, "Where were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush." I want you to check yourself. Last night on whatever you might have been viewing or watching, would you have watched it 10 years ago and not turned it off? Why is it we can hear language, we can see images, we can experience things today, and we've allowed the media world to convince us of the ratings. You know all the ratings they put out? Going away from G to PG to PG 13 to R to X and then to even worse. And the claim of that is that when it first comes on the television, if we had PowerPoint, I was one of the other ones that was going to use it, but I'd already been told. I was going to have some fun with you. I was going to put a disclaimer up there. The remaining lesson is for mature audiences only. And then make you sit there in fear of what was going to be the next slide. Because when we're in this building, if I'd put some image up there that would really make us ashamed, you'd really catch it. But what about in your living room? Okay, I'm meddling now, right? Now, I'm not standing before you innocent. I had one of the most glaring moments. I don't know if Grayson was a part of this or not, but Grayson might remember this. We got together. It was one of the years before Carolina Bible Camp. And Brett Seminole, the guy that works with me, my co-director, he's not my assistant director, but we just worked together. And we said, well, we're going to get here. We're going to get all the work done. And we're going to show a movie. Now, I'm confessing, okay? And I know somebody's going to come up to me, I can't believe you ever watched that movie. But I'm just going to share with you where I am. And then we're going to take this journey. I said, I know a real good movie that I've seen, a hilarious movie. Oh, brother, where art thou? Now, be careful. I know some of you are already ahead of me. Now, I'm just admitting where I had gotten to and listening. So, I don't know if any of you have ever heard that. I'm not recommending, do not rent that movie. The language is horrible. But you realize that I did not recognize it until I was sitting in a room with a bunch of teenage boys and young women, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, oh, what have I done? You don't remember that, D. Grayson, so evidently he wasn't there. He'd remember that and reminded me about it somewhere, I'm sure. But it dawned on me, I have been desensitized. You could have asked me before I saw it with them, why was it? I had not heard. They had said the awful things that they kept saying. There's one character in it that every other thing he says is abominable. How can I get to the point that that doesn't bother me anymore? How have we gotten to where we are? Same way. Satan has a subtle way of sending simple little messages, and it starts out just easy. And it gets just a little bit more, and as it increases, it's like the old thing, the frog in the pan of water. And it can happen. Wild men slept. See, look back at the law. If you look at the relationship of sex and sexual immorality, there's an establishment early on. Exodus chapter 22. We're going to look at just a couple of quick passages. We're going to end up in 1 Corinthians 6. But Exodus chapter 22. Here was a stipulation in the Levitical code, in the law of Moses. And if a man borrows anything from his neighbor, beginning back chapter 22, beginning in verse 16. If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price for her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgins. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Now that, whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. He who sacrifices any god except to the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 22. And the text there is even more blatant. If you'll notice what he says about the virgin there, that if you lie with someone prior to marriage, you've got to pay the betrothal price and make her your wife. But in Deuteronomy 22, beginning about verse 16, no, about verse 13. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and detests her and charges her with shameful conduct and brings a bad name on her and says, took this woman, I came to her, I found that she was not a virgin, then the father and the mother of the young woman shall take and bring out the evidence of the young woman's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. And the young woman's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man his wife, and he detests her. And he was charged her with shameful conduct, saying, I found her, your daughter was not a virgin, and yet these are the evidences of my daughter's virginity. And shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Then the elders of that city shall take that man and punish him, shall fine him 100 shekels of silver, give him to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name on the virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He cannot divorce her all of his days. But if the thing is true, and the evidences of virginity are not found for the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing to play the harlot in her father's house. So she shall put away the evil from among you. Leviticus 21, other passages. Anyone caught in the act of adultery, that is, individuals who had been married outside, both of the individuals were to be stoned. You think that would have any kind of application in today's society? You say, oh, wait a minute, that's the Old Testament. And it is. And it's the legislative line of what is right and what is wrong. God intended from the beginning of time, one man for one woman for one lifetime. I mentioned the ratios that I shared with you before. Do you realize right now, in the latest census in 2006, 1.2 in 2 marriages is ending in divorce? And many times the reason for that is unfaithfulness. And the downside in our society is we don't understand that the commitment to the divine nature of marriage and any kind of relationship outside of marriage. And the Levitical code talks about, I started to look, there's so many abhorrent practices we can't even imagine that we could look at that God addressed when you come to the New Testament. And of course, the text that Eddie mentioned this morning, in Matthew chapter 5, whosoever look upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. And when you talk about the effects, and I'd like to tell you, and I wouldn't even want to go to start around the room talking to the various ministers and elders here and situations that even some of the ladies have been in where individuals have come to them. Because in the last year, I've had individuals come in, walk into my office that I never would have thought would have struggled. Part of one because of the influence of pornography, another individual because of the influence of getting on Facebook, finding an old friend from the past. I hate to even use that term, a tremendous wife and family. But someone from the past that he connected with. Now, why is that happening? It's because as we stand before God and before many witnesses on that day and make that statement, for better, for worse, in sickness and health, for richer, for poorer, until death us do part, we don't mean it. Because we live in a culture and in a society that says you don't have to keep that commitment. In fact, it's okay, you just do what you want to. We cannot. Individuals will come up and make all kinds of analyses. In fact, Ted Turner, of all the individuals that I ever used, but here's the philosophy summed up by an individual. One man headed the telecasting empire. Here is a statement he made in criticizing the original Ten Commandments. We're living without moated rules. The rules we're living under are the Ten Commandments, and I bet nobody here even pays much attention to them because they're too old. When Moses went up on the mountain, there were no nuclear weapons. There was no poverty. Today, the commandments won't go over. Nobody around here likes to be commanded. And in essence, that is what the world in which we live is saying. You can't tell me how to behave. You have no right. No, but God does. Because He designed us. Is it any unique that God, as He designed it, one man for one woman for one lifetime, that anything other than that just doesn't work? Biologically, it doesn't work. There's another whole lesson going to address that. You can't have a family without one man and one woman. It does not work in reference to developing a community and a society that has moral, ethical, and honorable lifestyles. There are many reasons to not have sex outside marriage. Number one is because God commanded that there's one place for that right relationship. Hebrews says the marriage bed is honorable. In counseling with the couples I counsel with, I tell them the place when you come together as husband and wife in marriage, it is the only glimpse in this world back to Eden. And it should be a blissful and wonderful. But unfortunately, I'm going to show you, this is going to be a horrible. I was trying to think of but this is an illustration I'm going to give you. Our world has taken, you think of duct tape, okay? And you know duct tape, but if any of you have the original version, I'm not talking your marketplace version. I'm talking about the original duct tape. You take a piece of that duct tape, tear it off, take another piece of that duct tape, tear it off, put it together. You try to pull it apart. Now, you're going to get my illustration here in a minute. Can you? You're not without ripping them all to pieces. You take that one piece of duct tape and you attach it to several other surfaces and you start to try to do something like that. What happens? It loses its adhesive nature. God knew that if we didn't just do it His way, that's the way we stay together. One woman's been patient with me for 27 years. Bless her heart. But she's told me once and she's told me again. I told you 27 years ago. We've had within our congregation, Frank, how many we've had? Is it six or seven? Six that have passed the 50 year. Isn't it six? Seven. Seven couples celebrated 50 years. One celebrated 60 years not too long ago. Those are the moments in our congregations that we need to put up, put placards out, set up, put something in the paper and say, this is how it is done to God's glory. But it tears my heart out that I told you that 1.2 and 2, that's not just in the world. Unfortunately, that's happening within the church as well. Because we haven't convinced ourselves, I'm going to maintain the commitment I made to God. Number one reason is because God commanded Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 3, Genesis 2, verse 24 and 25, the husband shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Matthew says later, as Jesus said, that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. The fact that we will be spiritually healthier. Look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at just a couple of quick texts in the lesson of yours. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and verse 13. This is where Paul, in talking about our looking at God and pleasing God, Romans 8, verse 8 says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It is the blessing of oneness that God, in fact, he speaks over in Ephesians, doesn't he, chapter 5, about the mystery. He said the spiritual union between Christ and the church is only likened between that commitment between a husband and his wife. And the fact that that is supposed to, as the proverb writer would say, drink from the cistern, drink from your own cistern. We will be physically healthier. 1 Corinthians 6. And we're going to go there in more detail in a moment, but if you'll turn over there with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul in the middle of one of the most immoral cities in the world. I don't know, Robert, you ever done a study of Roman culture and Corinthian culture? Woo! Temple of Aphrodite was right there. Prostitutes, both male and female, available for worship in downtown city. We don't. Charlotte's bad. Raleigh, I'm sure, has its places, but I don't know of anything quite like that in either city. And Paul, in the middle of that kind of immorality, said in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, or do you not know that who is joined to a harlot is one body with her, for the two, he says, shall become one flesh. That is a scary text. You realize under the Levitical code that if individuals were caught engaging in sexual conduct, that they were committed to each other. There was no wedding ceremony. They were recognized. That's the confusing part of looking at the New Testament and Paul making these stipulations. We're spiritually healthier if we have one mate for life. We are physically healthier. There's no need to go into the discussion of the abhorrent nature of when you start practicing extramarital, premarital sex in any way, of the particular potential for disease that comes. We're emotionally healthier. Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, the marriage bed is honorable to all and undefiled. We show our spouses a well-being. Philippians chapter 2. And you're going, how in the world do you get to Philippians chapter 2 talking about sex outside of marriage? Well, just stay with me for a moment. Chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. But verse 3 especially. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. I don't know about you, but the experience I've had through the ministry and the individuals whom I've counseled and the individuals that have walked into my office or I've gotten that phone call, I need to talk to you, that have said something to me that they've made a choice that they shouldn't make, 9 times out of 8. Are you with me? 9 times out of 8, it's because of something that they wanted that they didn't need. It was because of something they wanted that they shouldn't have. Selfishness. I'm about tired in one regard, and this is going to sound almost mean. I'm tired of folks saying I'm not in love with him anymore. I'm not in love with her anymore. Because to a point, I told somebody, I said, you did it once, you can do it again. Because I had a young lady walk back into my office not 1 week ago, referred to an episode 6 years ago, and said, I wish I'd listened to you and tried to work it out because he's no better than the first one. I don't know how many times through my ministry that has happened. Because that's the answer. It's always better with the next one. No. That's why I take you back to the duct tape illustration. God knew what he was talking about. You find one. And everybody in all our world, there's all this great talk of finding your soulmate in that particular one individual. God never designed one particular image you've got to search through a maze to get to. If I decide to love one person with all that I've got, that person will in turn love me. And that relationship will develop in a way that God has designed. Waiting for marriage is the test of love. Well, how are we going to, you hear individuals in the world today, how are we going to know if we're right for each other? Oh, come on. There is such a blessing in being able to say to your wife, I'm talking now maybe to some of the young folks in here, some of you already had this experience, but to your wife in the future, to your husband in the future, you're the first person and you're going to be the only person that I ever had this sort of relationship with. God's way. The right way. Now, you can reestablish there is a spiritual virginity, and this is a whole other discussion. God will forgive any choice we've made, any particular path we particularly chose to take. But in 1 Corinthians 6, as he continues, we will have, if you choose to do it God's way, there will be no negative consequences as far as your relationship with another individual. You don't have to worry. I mentioned about teen pregnancies and all the other facets that come in it. We will keep our Christian testimony intact if we're faithful. There's a gentleman I go visit. In fact, Frank and I have lunch with him every week on Tuesday. John Grandy. He was married to Jill for 57 years before she died. Even after her death. He has Alzheimer's. He's got dementia. But he hasn't forgot Jill. For 57 years. He'll ask me, how long's Jill been gone? And I'll remind him. He said, I miss her. We desperately need to understand that we won't settle for less than what God's will includes. Look in the book. Let's read 1 Corinthians 6. I want to just quickly take you on a little journey through it, and then we're going to have one final warning. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food's for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own or her own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have got from God, and you are not your own, for you brought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Three quick thoughts. Sexual immorality. Sex outside of marriage will make it impossible for me to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I can be forgiven, but if I have a continual practice, if I have a continual desire, if that's a struggle that I have, it will cause me to be in a place that is outside the kingdom of God. Number two, it interferes with my relationship with Jesus because I'm the temple. He said this in the middle of the Corinthian culture that was immoral. And they would have understood what he was talking about. You can't go to the prostitute's house. You can't go to the temple of Aphrodite on Friday or Saturday and come to church on Sunday. And you'll find out later in Corinthians, and such were some of you. Aren't you glad? God says, I'll forgive you, but you've got to repent. And repentance means I'm going to stop. I'm going to change. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Thirdly, we must not let it be named. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Mark that text. We're going to get there in just a moment. I'm about to get ahead of myself. I'm going to mark it and join you there. First, go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 2. You know this text. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Where therefore put to death your members who are on the earth, fornication, that is sexual immorality, any practice of sex outside of marriage, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. We've got to leave the ways of the world and reestablish the ways of God. In our homes, in our churches, our children need to understand that the sensitized message that we're constantly getting from the media. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was looking on TV Land. Remember, now some of you, I'm really going to age myself here, but do you remember the Dick Van Dyke Show? Some kids are going back and going, what? Well, they watch TV Land, maybe they've seen it. But I remember the initial episodes of that, they showed a married couple were in separate beds. Any night of the week, we're constantly seeing individuals who don't even have any kind of a relationship in the same bed, and in that same program, in bed with more than one individual. And we don't turn it off. In fact, we catch ourselves laughing. Why? Because we've been desensitized. Now, I challenged the teens. I said, give me some, wouldn't it be great? See, I stand before you going, I've been really wrestling personally. I'm open to any suggestions y'all might have, because I've asked the teens too. How do you reprogram our minds? Would it not be great if we could erase the hard drive and start all over? There are times I wish we could. But we've got to reestablish. And the only way I've ever been able to figure out is what, and I told Eddie this morning, he stole one of my thoughts. That was one where sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you weren't ready to pay. But the fact and that full realization of that is if I don't replace in my heart and mind and soul, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 4, where it says, as he mentioned this morning, and think on these things, whatever is good, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy, pure. There's a culture today that when you start saying those things, they go, ugh. We need to reestablish a culture where they say, wow, when you say those things. And when the other things are mentioned, we go, ugh. The sin, the aberrations, the immorality, homosexuality, anything, all of those things that should make us cringe. And we be reminded, we must keep 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So many texts, so little time. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Great word. Not one we use in our normal everyday. Are you sanctified? We need to be. We have a, be a great thing, and I think a little strange thing sometimes. But I wish there was some sort of spiritual sanitizer. I didn't notice in the lobby, but in our lobby, we've got that news, you know, because we're getting all scared with all the viruses and germs, and this time of year it's really bad. We have that little bottle out there where you pump it and rub it, and it gets rid of all the germs. Wouldn't it be great if we had some kind of spiritual sanitizer? That we could literally cleanse ourselves, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds, and reestablish the innocence. That's what we've lost. We've lost the innocence of God. And someone said, but that's what comes as we get older. Does it have to? Does that mean just because I'm getting older, I'm becoming impure? No. But at some point, I'm going to have to make a decision of what I'll allow in and what I don't allow in. That's what he says here in this verse. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. We know God. We claim to have a relationship with him. But that means, just like Eddie was warning this morning, if we're placing ourselves in situations that we don't need to be placing ourselves in fact, I'm going to... I said I had too many things. Let me give you through several. These are the warnings that I want to give you, some warning signs. Just practicality as we kind of close out here, and I'm going to share the last text with you. So how can you recognize if you're in a place, in a dangerous place? These are some signs that indicate maybe a relationship. So you go, now we need to check ourselves. We need to make sure, you share personal thoughts or stories with someone of the opposite sex other than your wife or husband that you shouldn't be sharing. You feel a greater emotional intimacy with a person other than your spouse. Well, I've seen this happen, and sometimes it can start friendly. Sometimes it can start very casually, and then to say, well, she understands me more than mine. You find yourself saying that, you step away. You start comparing him or her to your spouse and begin listing why your spouse doesn't add up. You're saying, I'd never do that. Or if you've ever done that, be careful. You long for and look forward to the next time you see that particular individual, any particular opportunity to talk to them or be in their presence. You start changing your normal routine or duties to spend more time with that person. You feel the need to keep conversations or activities involving with that person a secret from your spouse. You fantasize about spending time getting to know or sharing a life with him, or you spend significant time. If you catch yourself in any kind of those modes, if you find an individual that's drawing attention other than your husband or your wife, stop before it goes too far. Because I can tell you from ministerial experience, that's how it's occurred in every individual that's ever walked into my office or called my phone or walked from me to the side and said, I'm struggling. Because it starts innocently. And before an individual knows it, they've made a choice that they regret. Now, I've also can stand before you and tell you that I've been blessed in my ministry to know individuals that have struggled with some of the greatest things that they could struggle with, and they've been able to forgive each other and grow from it and go on. And that's possible. It's one of the most difficult things that can ever happen. But it's possible. And it can be healed. But the better answer and the better path is God's way the first time and forever. One man for one woman for one lifetime. Discovering each other in the beauty of the same way that Adam and Eve did before. You see, have you ever wondered? I've always had this strangeness about what actually dawned on them at that moment. And I've wrestled with that when they were in the garden, naked and unashamed, and all of a sudden they took it. But do you know the tree that they took? What was the name of it? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God has always given us everything, and he's always told us exactly what we need to know. Too many times what causes the wrong relationship is an individual making a personal, selfish choice, him or her, because he didn't trust God. It's the same question. Did God not give you all the truth? Did he lie to you? No, he's never lied to us. And I'll tell you, in my own ministry, to a person, through the years, folks have said, God's way is the best way. I wish I'd thought about that before and they finished the sentence. So my plea, in a very practical way to you, is if you find yourself in that danger zone, leave now. Reestablish the relationship with the original one you committed to and stay there to the glory of God and to the salvation of your soul. And in the future, those of you, especially those of the young ones among us, you find that individual who for the rest of your life will be the woman of your dreams, the man of your dreams, for the ladies. In Ephesians, I want to finish with this text. Here's the challenge, chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are the sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the darkness, nor of the night. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. I told you as we started, while men slept, things have changed. Well, it's time to wake up and change them back. It's time for the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be the profound voice in the community and start saying it's going to start here in May when we go to the ballot and vote for the only way God intended it, one man, one woman, and say so and don't step down. And it's going to say so that in our congregations, that our relationships, we're celebrating more 40 years and 50 years and 60 years of longevity together with one person in the commitment God intended. Because outside of God's way is destruction. God said in the garden, one man for one woman for one lifetime. He knew best. He did then. He will till his son returns. May we ever realize the beauty of the right relationship between men and women. The sexual union in marriage that God blesses and applauds. He allowed an entire book in the Old Testament of Solomon that said his dear love for his wife was precious and powerful when it's done God's way. Thank you.